Disorganization. Organization is rhythm and direction. To be disorganized is to try and play music with a drummer that has no sense of rhythm and goes everywhere and nowhere. It's chaos. This section is particularly helpful to those who have difficulties or are diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now, of course, it's not exclusive to people who face this challenge, but people who may benefit will find that any way to help you get more organized, this may be useful for you. As we talk about the three practical ideas, bear in mind that they exist on a principle level, meaning that you can use these principles and apply them in a myriad of different ways. Not every way is going to be suitable for you. Some are going to speak directly to you, and you should guard them, hold them to help you get more organized in your life. Here's how. Number one, extend your mind. Something that exists outside of your mind, that's what I mean when we say extend your mind, an extension of your interior thoughts reflected onto the external world. If it's only held on the inside, it's very hard for you to work through them. We can't just say, I trust my memory. I was thinking back when I was writing this, planning this out for this particular section on disorganization. Used to play a lot of music growing up. And one of the things that I realized initially was that whenever I had a good idea, you know, like a good riff, a good tune, or four chord progression, I would always have this sense of confidence like, well, if it's that good, I'm going to remember it. And then I don't. And you forget about this. So, and then what's interesting too, when I listened to all the tape recordings back in the days when it was like cassette tapes, that there was stuff that I didn't think too much of it. And then yet when I heard it later on, it sounded really interesting, and we would build on this and to use those ideas. Seems to be the same for me in my writing endeavors. Ideas that I, you know, thought not too much of it turned out to be useful, and ideas that I thought were useful turned out to be not so. But more importantly, writing them down, putting them down outside of ourselves to represent the ideas that's lurking in our minds, it's a very helpful idea. But this extension of your mind must, this tool, specifically the tool that you're using, must be usable and visible to you at most times. Now, your phone, our phone matches this criteria, but there is a problem. Our phones are not what the cognitive sciences would call a single function device, meaning it's not like, say, a notebook or in the old days, a typewriter, something that's just operating purely for one function. Most of our tools now are what we call smart tools. They are what are termed as multifunction device, meaning if you open up a laptop, you open up a phone, it does not just take your notes. It also has your calendar, so you can read your email, you can read the news, you can go into social media. This means that there's a lot less friction. You know, everything just translates from one thing to the other with a swipe. This is problematic because our attention starts to wane and starts to get derailed very easily. So in the principle of extending your mind, I would highly, highly recommend for you to use a portable notebook for your ideas or even for planning. Also on the topic of notebooks, it's really useful to be writing using your hand, meaning handwriting, you know, as opposed to typing. There's something about the labor, the material movement, the sort of tactile feeling, all that combined slows you down, but yet in a good way. Robert Bjork, one of the leading researchers in the area of learning, would call this a desirable difficulty to have. It's good to have some friction that slows you down and makes you think about this. And I would recommend that when you're using digital devices, one of the things that you can use a lot more is your digital calendar to plan ahead. So we're going to talk about this in the second idea about our relationship with time. But using a digital calendar to plan ahead is really helpful. Now, if you are into using a to-do list, which is good because you get an idea of what sort of tasks you want to tackle in the day or in the week or months ahead, just make sure that your to-do list exists in time. That is, if you put down in a particular application, make sure that it's synchronized with your relationship with the day, with the week, with the months or years. So on a Mac, you have reminders, and reminders now has upgraded where you could see them appear in your calendar if you put a specific time and date to it. Now, of course, non-important to-dos can still exist outside of time dimension. You know, you could categorize them as someday or maybe later. I have this way of categorizing this. I use another app called Todoist, and that I put in what I call a hold vault or someday later. You know, something that I'm not really thinking that it's important or urgent. I would, you know, want to look at this someday, and I don't want this to affect what I'm focusing on at that given point in time. You can also use a big giant whiteboard or pinboard in your room or in your workspace, in your office, because what's visible becomes visceral. What's invisible becomes lost. So use things that can extend your mind. Use these tools to wrestle with the ideas so that you can look back to help your memory, to help your working memory, to help you stay focused on tasks and things that are important to you. 2, create a pattern in time. Now this sounds a bit strange, creating a pattern in time. Rhythm is the perception of pattern in time. Or more precisely, it's what happens when your mind detects regularity. Think of a drummer who plays a 4-4 beat. Think of any song that you hear, pop song or rock song that you hear on the radio or you hear in your Spotify playlist. You hear the rhythm being consistent. It rarely changes in most Western music. You know, it's regular. And that's what you hear, punctuation in time. This has a lot to do with getting organized. A single sound isn't rhythm. 2 sounds might be, doof, doof. 3 sounds, and your brain is already predicting the 4th, doof, 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 doof. Everything exists in relationship with time. Rhythm is a punctuation, a pattern in time. Musicians would say, you are out of time, which means you're not in rhythm. So how do we create rhythm in time? Here's one way to think about this. By having 2 different hats that you would wear. The first is a maker hat, and the second, a manager hat. This idea is borrowed from Paul Graham, a famous blog writer from Y Combinator, and he calls this a maker versus a manager schedule. I put the resource for you if you want to look at that further. But the issue is that when we are absorbed, you know, we experience a sort of compression of time when we become blind to time, or what we would call time blindness. We become hyper-focused on something at hand. That's when we're having a maker hat. Most people I know who struggle with getting their lives organized tend to go into this sort of flow states of maker hat, and they love being in that, rightfully so, but then don't have a way to zoom out and to be administrative, to sort of manage the situation. Now, when you're in the maker hat, make sure you're clear that you're in the maker hat. One way to sort of help you fit into the pattern of the rhythm of time is to use something to remind you how much time you have left. Not just how much time has passed, but how much time you have left. So you could use a clock timer. You could use your phone, although I won't recommend using that because remember the phone is a multi-function device, which you get lost a little bit once you start pull out the timer. You go, oh, maybe I should check my message. Maybe I should look at my WhatsApp and on and on and on. Instead, you could use devices that are inbuilt, let's say, to your laptop. For Mac, you could download a free app, I believe, called Gestimer, G-E-S-T-I-M-E-R, where you could pull down the time to see how much time you need, and it will count down in reverse. Or you could get a little device called Time Timer. It's helping you to look at how much piece of the pie of a circle that's left, the minutes that's left. Those are worthy investments because when you are working deeply, you lose track of time. And that just gives you a sense of how much is left on the clock. Just like if a person is playing a sport, you know, if they look at the shot clock, they look at how much time has elapsed in the quarter, it gives you a sense. It's useful that way. And then when, let's say you gave yourself 60 minutes or 90 minutes max, when the clock strikes and the little bell goes, enforce that break. Take a moment to get away environmentally, to move aside, to go and move around and be less sedentary, move your legs. You know, those breaks are really useful. It makes your work rhythm much more sustainable. Then in the manager hat, in the manager's hat, you're wearing a different hat. The plan is for you to get organized. There are three prescribed time for the manager mode. And you could do this in this order. The start of the day and the end of the day. So when you start the day, think about what is done for the day. List them all out. Just kind of put them down on a piece of paper or something, a scrap paper. But just make sure you consistently put that down as you begin the day. Don't just jump into the maker mode. And then after you list them down, start to categorize which ones are secondary and which one is the primary one. You can only have one main thing. And that main thing is something you decide when you're in this manager mode at the start of the day. And then you aim for the primary thing first. All else are secondary. You will get to them. But the feeling is that when you attack, when you start working on the primary one and you're done, the feeling of motivation is really potent, really powerful when you have that. Then the second piece, as I mentioned, is the end of the day. When you finish a day, look back and just review. What has this been like? Were you successful? Were there things you need to note for the future? So we have started the day, that's one. The end of the day is kind of a reflection or a review done for the day, you know, it's just looking back at that. The third one is on a weekly level. When you wear the manager hat, you want to be zoomed out enough too, on a weekly level. That seems to be the case on a 5-working day or 7-day week. It seems to be a rhythm that we are all accustomed to in modernity. And to just have a sense of what's the plan ahead for the week? That's very useful to give you a sense of what's coming so that you can start to work on a daily level as you enter the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesdays. Here's an additional note about using a calendar and to-do list as you plan for the day. Sometimes with all your best intentions to list down what's primary, what's secondary, you still get caught up and you start to lose track. And sometimes, you know, you don't even know what you're doing right now. You know, you get lost from one tab and opening another tab, and then now you have 36 other tabs open, and then you realize that, wait, this was not what I was trying to do, and it was not even in my list to begin with in the primary or secondary. The other additional idea is to do what is referred to as interstitial journaling. It sounds very fancy, but what this just means is that when you begin to do something when you've made the plan in the manager hat, now you enter into the maker hat when you're doing what you planned, write down exactly what you're doing. Even if you've written it down before, right? Just write it down one more time just to remind yourself that is what you are doing. And then after you're done with that, put a tick. Don't cancel it. Canceling it feels like, you know, it's an erasure. Put a tick to say that it's done. Then when you're doing the next thing, just write down what you are doing. This is a way for your hand going to your brain, going to your intentions, to remind yourself that's the anchor of this moment, and that's what you're doing. People who struggle with ADHD will find this particular strategy or interstitial really useful. All in all these strategies that we've talked about, from the maker to the manager hat, it's really to help you create a pattern in time. And the pattern that we're familiar with is the daily and the weekly. And we want to use this pattern to help us in our intentions. Number three, make tomorrow easy. Make tomorrow easy by being a butler to your future self. Serve your future self as if like you are the emissary, the servant. You're trying to do everything to set this up so that your future self will thank you, that you'll be glad that you've made this plan and you've done that. There are a couple of things that you could do to apply this idea of make tomorrow easy. Let's go through them. That's about five of them, and I want to cover grounds regarding this principle of making tomorrow easy. A, defer rabbit holes. You know what I mean. When you're looking at something, when you click one link and you realize that article has got another link, you open it up to a new tab or a new window, you look at this, and then after you look at this and you realize, oh, that's really interesting, which leads you to another new tab, another open link. And then you realize that, wait, there's so many other open tabs now. Now there's 42 of them in your browser. You want to defer the sort of rabbit holes and go back to your intention. How to do that? Well, you could use technology to help you. You could use Read It Later apps. I use this one by Readwise called Reader, where every time when I see an interesting article, I do not read them. I click on an extension that pushes it to this particular Reader app. And then it stores this reading list that whenever, if I'm in a queue or if I'm waiting or if I have idle time, that's when I will look at them. And what's interesting about this is when it's deferred, not to read it right there and then, not to go down that rabbit hole. When I look at my Reader app, I don't read all the articles. I don't find them interesting anymore. And if that's the case, you know, I just let them be. And sometimes they are really important. I can move them into a higher level priority, put it into a short list. So there are many out there. One of them is Reader app. Another one's Instapaper. There are different ones that you can look. But the principle is basically trying to make tomorrow easy. And in this case, you're making now easy even by making sure that whatever you're doing, even though it's hard, because you're trying to make tomorrow easy, you're not getting sidetracked. B, on the principle of making tomorrow easy, is build white space into your schedule. White space is the opposite of doing something. Build some slack into your busy schedule. Treat it like any other event in your calendar. Like driving, create an ample buffer between you and the car in front of you. This allows you to be responsive to anything that might pop up. Refrain from scheduling back to back, you know, hour, minutes and seconds even, you know, like you don't want to do that. You're not an Olympic race. By incorporating white space, you give yourself time to think, to just slow the heck down by a tad. Moreover, this prevents you from falling prey to a planning fallacy. We will talk about this in the third one. So even if it's just 15 minutes, you know, if your meeting goes on for, usually you block it on an hour, well, schedule a meeting for 50 minutes and you have 10 minutes left just to catch your breath, put down some notes, plan ahead. C, on the idea, the principle of making tomorrow easy, is multiply activities by 1.5 times. This is one of my biggest mistakes. I tend to believe I can squeeze in more than I can manage. Especially at the beginning of the day, I imagine I can get more done than I really can. Because of this planning fallacy, I schedule more than I can really handle. And this feels awful. When you finish the day, when you finish the week, you feel sort of hectic, chaotic. A good method to inoculate yourself against this bias is to multiply all planned activities by roughly 1.5. In other words, if I have a 1 hour meeting scheduled at 9 a.m. instead of locking it in till 10 a.m., I'll block out 9 to 10:15. Now, this is opposite of the other idea of building some slack. If you really can't, if you really need to have the 1 hour, then make sure don't squeeze, don't sandwich everything so tightly, like the cars in Rome. You don't want it to be so, you know, like really hard to get out of a parallel lot. Give some buffer, give 15 minutes. And if the meeting ends on time, which is a rare treat, take that time to consolidate key points from the meeting, get started on any follow-ups, or even give yourself a little breather. The fourth idea on making tomorrow easy is batching. When you're planning ahead for tomorrow, for the next day, batch similar tasks to maintain focus. Group related chores together, such as paying all your bills at once, to avoid that metabolic cost of switching your attentional set all the time. So your admin work, invoicing, your emailing even, you know, don't leave your inbox open all the time. Check it at specific time of the day and just reply them as you go. Returning of phone calls, voicemails, and rather than switching in between from maker and manager mode all the time. The fifth idea on making tomorrow easy is what I call give 80, not 100%. This idea I got from Greg McKeown, he would say that this paradox is apparent when you examine the relationship between your daily and weekly life. Because on a daily level, you might be able to push hard to get stuff done and squeezing dry every available minute, you know, to 100%. Meanwhile, on a weekly level, you're depleted. And by the time the weekend arrives, you have things you want to do, but you are spent. There's little juice left in the tank. And then the cycle continues. So what's the solution? McKeown suggests working below your capacity. So instead of pushing for 100% or more each day, set a compressed upper bound, say 75%, 80%, or 85%. Personally, I've stuck with 80% just because I like the sound of it. This came to be really useful in trying to get my life in order, which, you know, every time when I'm working, whether I'm running trainings or I'm in a clinical practice, or even if I'm writing, I tend to push and give everything I've got. And I could rationalize this as an Asian work ethic and so on. You know, I'm a hard worker. But the truth is, I go home to my family and they're left with crumbs. They don't have much of me left. When my daughters ask me, can we play a little bit? You know, and I would be like, oh, honey, not now. I'm just so tired. And when I think about this, it really, you know, feels like a disappointment, like a letdown. Why is it I could give so much to my work? Which, yes, I do care a lot about this, but why not to the people closest to me in my life? This is when I thought this idea is really useful. Plan your day optimally. You're not cutting short, but rather don't squeeze in so much. Give 80. So this means that in my clinical practice days, let's say, instead of seeing 8 people, which I can, all I would see is instead 6 or 7 people. This gives me some breathing space. So when each person I meet, I give it my all, but I know I'm not overstretching for the day. I'm thinking for the longevity of the future me. I'm also thinking that I want to go home to my family with energy left to engage with them. Also for the week and the weekend and repeat and on and on. Now that we've talked about these 3 principles on how to get organized, let's look at the reasons. Here's why. Number 1, why do we need to extend our minds with tools? Because of cognitive load. Our working memory can vary between people, of course, but it can only hold so much of germane, important, useful, relevant information at a given point in time. If we don't use tools to extend our minds, we would become prone to cognitive bias, a kind of cognitive bias called recency effect, meaning we will only remember what's most recent, what's top of the pile. Whenever I meet people in therapy who need help with getting organized, and by the way, it's rarely presented as the first, most biggest primary concern. A large percentage holds things, plans, schedules in their heads. In our modern living, that's really very taxing metabolically. It's going to tax your working memory a lot because our lives are complicated now. There are many things, spinning plates up in the air that we're trying to balance from work life, relational life, and even our personal projects. All those things sort of meld into the head. So when you do that all in your head internally, you're continuously taxing your working memory. This is metabolically expensive, and for some, it causes anxiety. This is why you want to employ tools, not necessarily to replace you. That's not the point, actually. It's to enhance your ability, to help you with that. You're trying to use tools to guide you, to remind you, to lead you in a direction that you want to go. Two, the reasons for creating a pattern in time. One of the biggest reasons that people with ADHD tendencies or those who are diagnosed with ADHD struggle with getting organized is that they rather be in the maker mode and not in the manager mode. It's no surprise that the research bears out that people who are entrepreneurial, people in the creative fields, are overly represented with people who have ADHD tendencies, because they tend to have a wide-angle, divergent lens on things, which is useful for creativity or looking at things creatively. There is a trade-off. The trade-off is life is messier, less orderly, more chaotic. Don't you feel a lift in your spirits when you realize you have all day to create, to make, without obligations of meetings to attend to or schedules and things to fulfill? Yet you can go down a rabbit hole and lose track of time, only to realize that instead of 1 hour have passed, 3.5 hours have gone by, and you forgot about the meeting you've pre-planned at 11 a.m. Time blindness occurs when we lose track of time. This tends to occur when we are so absorbed in a state of flow. This is not a bad thing, but good things that is not restrained becomes bad as it starts to negatively affect other aspects of your life. So you're trying to straddle this both walls. That's why having the distinction, especially in a week, to have the maker role, but also partitioning time to be in the manager role. Three, make tomorrow easy. Now, why should we make tomorrow easy? Well, as we've mentioned in the strategy, your future self will thank you tomorrow. While you stay present and focus on the now, you also bet on it that there will be a tomorrow. Unless you are a monk living in the Himalayas, you need to move between the present and the future and the present. I'm not saying that you should do this at the expense of being present. Rather, you're trying to expand the sense of now, the long now. If you proceed with this principle of making tomorrow easy, many, many strategies abound. Use the ones that help you get organized. In closing, the only reason we want to be organized is to serve our future self well. Organization gives us the freedom to be a bit disorganized. Rhythm makes time visible so that we can lead not just an organized life, but a deep and meaningful one that is in sync with our intentions.